The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good afternoon, Jimmy Sangenberger once again in for Deborah Flora this afternoon here on Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS. Our telephone number, 303-696-1971, if you'd like to join in to the festivities. You can also text into the show on the 710 KNUS app on your smartphone. Name in town, if you wish to text in, please. And a couple of ways to email yours truly directly. One is via the 710KNUS website, 710KNUS.com. Go to my show's page, The Jimmy Sangenberger Show, which runs from 6 till 9 every Saturday morning. And you can also email me via my website, JimmySangenberger.com. Keep in mind, there's no A, I, or U in Sangenberger. It's all E's all the time. Once you know that, Sangenberger is easy. So we'll see what we can sink our teeth into today in the hour. But one topic of note is China's military provocations that are growing. We will likely talk a little bit about that. Also, Saudi Arabia is pushing for OPEC to cut production in order to raise prices. Even CNN calling into question the efficacy of Biden's talks with the Saudi regime before to try and keep down oil prices, which helps us at the pump.
That's what we're watching right now on the oil story. It has been a very good story for oil prices, and maybe you're going to see those declines slow down or even reverse a little bit.
We will be watching. Christine Romans, thank you.
It really brings into question, though, Biden's trip to Saudi Arabia.
Oh, well, that's
and the goal of that. And look what has happened since with OPEC Plus.
That is CNN right there. Really brings into question Biden's trip to Saudi Arabia. I have thoughts on both of those topics today. And who knows what else we'll get into, especially if you call in and join the conversation at 303-696-1971. Reading from FoxNews.com, though, breaking news today. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer said he will begin the process of holding FBI Director Christopher Wray in contempt of Congress, despite viewing and being briefed by bureau officials on the subpoenaed document alleging Joe Biden was involved in a criminal bribery scheme on Capitol Hill Monday. The FBI brought the document in question, an FBI-generated FD-1023 form that allegedly describes a $5 million criminal scheme involving then-Vice President Joe Biden and a foreign national relating to the exchange of money for policy decisions. To Capitol Hill Monday, for Comer, he's a Republican of Kentucky, and ranking member Jamie Raskin, Democrat of Maryland, to review in a secure SCIF room after a back and forth between committee Republicans and the Bureau over whether it was in compliance of the subpoena. So basically, the two leading members, Republican and Democrat, on this House Oversight Committee were able to go in a specially secured SCIF, a very secured room where you can view intelligence and so forth. Can't be removed. The documents can't be taken out. So they could look at this FD-1023 form, allegedly, again, describing a $5 million criminal scheme involving then Vice President Joe Biden and a foreign national relating to the exchange of money for policy decisions. Oh, you did something on policy, now $5 million. Well, they're not happy about it, the Republicans on the committee at least. James Comer said he's going to hold Director Ray in contempt, even though he and Jamie Raskin were able to go behind closed doors in this skiff and take a look at the document. Here is Representative Comer at a press conference today.
FBI officials confirmed that the unclassified FBI-generated record has not been disproven and is currently being used in an ongoing investigation. The confidential human source who provided information about then Vice President Biden being involved in a criminal bribery scheme is a trusted, highly credible informant who has been used by the FBI for over 10 years and has been paid over six figures. These are facts and no amount of spin and frankly lies from the White House or congressional Democrats can change this information. At the briefing, the FBI again refused to hand over the unclassified record to the custody of the House Oversight Committee, and we will now initiate contempt of Congress hearings this Thursday. Given the severity and complexity of the allegations contained within this record, Congress must investigate further.
Now, over the weekend, I had the pleasure of emceeing the Arapahoe County Republican Party's Lincoln Day dinner on Saturday night. It was a tremendous event, sold out, great time with folks. And the author of the book, The Fall of the FBI, Thomas J. Baker, joined us a couple of weeks ago. He, I believe, Deborah had him on. I had had him on before her. And I interviewed him on stage on Saturday night, and he gave a presentation. One of the things that this 33-year veteran, he's retired, but 33-year veteran FBI agent made a point of saying is that in the past they tried to avoid any subpoenas from Congress and instead actually provide the information that Congress requests. Go ahead and do it. Get it done so there ain't no need for a subpoena. And yet, not only has Congress needed to subpoena different documents, but it seems like the FBI has tried to hide some things. And you have Christopher Wray not turning the document, this particular document, over in a way that would have been what Comer was looking for. And why not? What's going on with the FBI? Why is this situation as it is? Let's break it down. Mike Davis is the president of the Article 3 Project. You see him frequently on various cable news channels. He, first time he came on my radar was when he was working for the Senate Judiciary Committee during Brett Kavanaugh's nomination. And in particular, he was the head guy over there on the staff helping to shepherd through the very important and significant nomination and confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh. And Mike Davis joins me now. Good afternoon, Mike. Good to talk with you again.
Thanks for having me on.
So this is quite an interesting story. You have the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, James Comer, coming out today and saying because of certain requests for documentation regarding this alleged bribery scheme and maybe other things with the then Vice President Joe Biden, he wants to go after the FBI Director Christopher Wray and hold contempt hearings starting on Thursday. What's going on here, Mike?
Well, FBI Director Chris Wray should be held in contempt of Congress because the FBI is accountable to the American people through our elected representatives in Congress. And for too long, the FBI has thought that they are above the law because they have been above the law. We've seen this in at least the last three elections for president, 2016, 2020, 2024. In 2016, Hillary Clinton had her illegal home server as Secretary of State with our nation's most classified secrets. That server was hacked and had evidence of the Clinton Foundation's pay-for-play foreign bribery schemes. And so what did the FBI do? The FBI colluded with President Obama, Vice President Biden, the Attorney General, the CIA Director, and others to make up the Russian collusion hoax on Trump to interfere in the presidential election, to distract from Hillary's troubles and put them on Trump. And that led to the crossfire hurricane investigation where they got illegal FISA warrants and hobbled the Trump presidency for 3 years. And we saw with John Durham's report, the special counsel, it outlines all of that. In 2020, the FBI covered up the fact that Joe Biden, there was evidence, this whistleblower evidence that Comer is trying to get from the FBI, this whistleblower evidence that the FBI sat for years on this very specific and credible allegation that then Vice President Joe Biden took a $5 million foreign bribe when he was in office and changed American policy. And instead of looking at that, they the deep state said that the Hunter Biden laptop with all of this evidence was a Russian disinformation campaign. 51 former intel officials worked with the CIA and FBI to say this was a Russian disinformation campaign. And in 2024, President Trump declassified, the day before President Trump left office, President Trump declassified his copy of the Crossfire Hurricane records, these damning records that we saw in John Durham's special counsel report. He took them with him to Mar-a-Lago, which he's allowed to do under the Presidential Records Act. And that's why Congress gives former presidents staff with security clearances, secure office space, and Secret Service protection. Presidents are allowed to take their presidential records, and it doesn't matter whether they're classified or not. These Crossfire Hurricane records were declassified by Trump via presidential memo, yet Biden had Garland, had Attorney General Merrick Garland and the FBI concoct this illegal, unprecedented, unnecessary home raid. They went to a biased magistrate judge, Bruce Reinhart, to get back these Crossfire Hurricane records that are so damning for Biden, for Hillary, for all of them, for Obama. This is, again, three election cycles where the FBI has interfered in a presidential election to try to throw the election for the Democrats against Trump, and it just could not stand. So the FBI needs to comply with Comer's subpoena. They need to hold the FBI director in contempt of Congress. And frankly, they need to do more than that. They need to impeach the FBI director.
Mike Davis, our guest, he is the president of the Article 3 Project. I want to play a clip from Representative James Comer today, specifically talking a bit more about what this document suggests regarding Joe Biden that underlies this contempt hearing that will happen beginning on Thursday.
This document was dated, I think you all know this, from the subpoena in July 30th, 2020. The claims made in the document are consistent with what we found and disclosed to you all in Romania. It suggests a pattern of bribery where payments would be made through shell accounts and multiple banks. And there's a term for that. It's called money laundering. And that, again, is what the majority of the suspicious activity reports also said. So we feel that this accusation is consistent with a pattern that we're seeing, frankly, in other countries too.
And multiple
yes.
documents?
We believe there are multiple documents.
We believe there are multiple documents, he says. How do you interpret what Comer stated in that clip? And what do you expect will happen on Thursday when they hold this hearing, get it going, regarding contempt for the FBI director, Christopher Wray?
I mean, it's very clear that the FBI is not investigating any of these potential crimes, high crimes, by the Bidens and his sleazeball family. The FBI is actually actively covering up for Biden and his sleazeball family, like they covered up for Hillary when she had her own corruption with the Clinton Foundation, her illegal server. This is a pattern by the FBI. The FBI has to turn over these records to Congress. Congress must hold the FBI director in contempt. And again, they should just impeach him. This is unacceptable that we have an FBI. Not only do they think that they're above the law, they're actually actively undermining our democracy by interfering in presidential elections for the Democrats, the last three presidential election cycles.
Now, one thing that happened today, though, is Comer, as well as his Democrat counterpart, is the ranking member, Jamie Raskin, were able to go into a secure skiff today and review this document. Now, being in a skiff means you can't take it, you can't share it, you can't reveal its contents directly and show it, that kind of thing, because it's a sensitive room where it's like, you can come and review, but that's it. How come that isn't enough for this? Why does it need to fully be disclosed for the public, the American people, to see, in your assessment?
Because we already saw what the Democrat ranking member, Jamie Raskin, did. He came out there and spun it. He spun this document and tried to downplay this document. What Raskin's failing to say is there are suspicious activity reports. There are bank transactions that match up with this allegation that then Vice President Joe Biden took an illegal foreign bribe of $5 million and changed American policy. So I don't understand how this is. Before, this was a conspiracy theory, the FBI said, and then when they actually got caught and cornered like rats, now they're changing their tune and saying, oh, no, we can't release this document. It's going to reveal sources and methods, and we're running an investigation. They're not running an investigation. They're running a cover-up for Joe Biden.
Now, when the Republicans get accused of playing politics, how would you suggest that they respond to that? Because you inevitably will see it on Thursday and beyond once Chris Wray is brought before with contempt charges from the House Oversight Committee. How would you respond from sort of a messaging standpoint, especially if, you know, there are a heck of a lot of folks who aren't following these things closely? How would you suggest Republicans cue that up for middle-of-the-road folks who may not be aware of some of the things we're talking about?
All you have to do is look at the bank records of the Bidens and see that just about every sleazeball, scumbag, lowlife Biden took a lot of money and these millions and millions of dollars of the illegal foreign bribery schemes, these foreign transactions with China, with Ukraine, with Romania. And it seems like every Biden got a piece of this except for the 4-year-old granddaughter who Joe Biden and Jill Biden don't claim.
And as we wrap up with you again, we're talking with Mike Davis, president of the Article 3 Project. I'm looking at the FBI lately because I've had multiple occasions now, both on stage at an event on Saturday and back a couple of weeks ago, to interview a longtime former FBI special agent, 33-year veteran. He's retired, Tom Baker, and he wrote a fascinating book. I highly recommend it if you haven't checked it out yet, The Fall of the FBI. And in it, he talks about how there's really been, and this is something echoed in the Durham report, although he wrote his book before the Durham report came out, is there's really been over the past 2 or 3 decades a significant cultural shift in the FBI that it undergirds why they would be so resistant to turn over documents when they are subpoenaed to Congress, that it's more than just a handful of bad apples, but there's something much broader and much more systemic. Now, he says, like Durham says, we don't need new regulations, don't get rid of the FBI, but we need a massive cultural change. What do you think needs to be done regarding the FBI, Mike Davis?
Well, I think that Obama weaponized the Justice Department, including the FBI, and James Comey made that very clear when he was the director, that he politicized and weaponized the FBI. I think what needs to happen right now, there's only one politically appointed person at the FBI, the director, and that director has up to a 10-year term, and there's no accountability to Congress. What needs to happen at the FBI is the director, the deputy director, and the assistant directors, including the heads of the key field offices like the Washington field office, they need to be presidentially appointed and Senate confirmed. And so just like the attorney general, deputy attorney general, and assistant attorneys general at Main Justice, the FBI needs to have politically accountable leadership so the House and the Senate can call in these officials regularly for oversight. And right now that does not happen. So they need to gut the top leadership of the FBI and replace them with politically accountable leadership.
That's a very interesting thought, and I think that's a great idea. Mike Davis, Article 3 Project President, really appreciate your thoughts this afternoon. Thanks so much for taking some time.
Thank you.
Once again, Mike Davis joining us here on the Deborah Flores Show. Jimmy Sengenberger filling in for Deborah this afternoon. I mean, there's no two ways about it. The FBI seems quite clearly to be covering for Biden, at least to some extent. What is really going on here? I would like answers. It could be innocuous. There could be nothing really here. There could be something significant here. But if you're hiding the documents, if you're not addressing subpoenas, and it takes subpoenas to get those documents, and then there are concerning aspects like what Comer says is in this particular document, this Form 1023 from the FBI, I mean, it just raises more serious questions. I thought it was an interesting idea. Politically appointed leadership from the top down from the FBI director. Maybe, just maybe, that would be a good way to help out in addressing what's happening with the FBI. What do you think about it? What do you think about the revelations from Representative James Comer, head of the House Oversight Committee, plus on China, with all these serious developments going on, and you have with regards to national security and military actions and so forth, and you've got OPEC under the direction of the Saudi Arabian Kingdom saying we need to cut production to raise prices. What does that say about Biden's foreign policy? What do both of those things say about Biden's foreign policy? Our telephone number, 303-696-1971. We'll pick up the conversation on all of those things coming up. Jimmy in for Deborah on 710 KNUS. Rocking and rolling back. Jimmy Sengenberger in for Deborah Flora. Gotta love Lynyrd Skynyrd. You know, they're coming to Fiddler's Green along with ZZ Top on August 7th. Although, of course, there are no surviving original Lynyrd Skynyrd members to this day. Welcome back again. Jimmy Sengenberger in for Deborah Flora here on News Talk 710 KNUS, which, along with the Centennial Institute, presents the 2023 Western Conservative Summit, June 9th and 10th. That's this weekend, Friday and Saturday, at the Colorado Convention Center. Featuring Lauren Boebert, Eric Metaxas, Ken Buck, Riley Gaines, Frank Gaffney, Tulsi Gabbard, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, Larry Elder, who I'll be introducing Saturday morning after my show broadcasts live from the Western Conservative Summit, of course, 6 to 9 Saturday mornings on 710 KNUS, which is the official station of the 2023 Western Conservative Summit. Get tickets online at 710KNUS.com. The thunder is out there. It is raining. It is coming down. I can't remember the last May-June time period that we had where it was constantly raining. Now, this is good. We need the moisture. We need as much as we can get from a water standpoint, from making sure that our lawns are green and preventing forest fires and all of those valuable things. But it does put you in a downer mood a little bit more when you don't have that, 300 days of sunshine that Colorado promises us, at least 300 a year. I mean, we did have sunshine earlier. And yeah, wait 5 minutes, it'll get better, or maybe it'll get worse. That's Colorado for you. But nevertheless, it's the way it is right now. A lot of rain that has been going on. It reminds me, back when I was in middle school, I took golf lessons. And there was one summer where our golf lessons kept getting rained out. Either it would start raining after we would start with the group lessons, or it was canceled because the storm had already come or was on its way. And this rainy weather has been making me think back to those days in middle school doing golf, which I have not picked up a golf club in ages. I probably should sometime soon, maybe this summer if the weather isn't all rainy. 303-696-1971 is our telephone number. Jimmy Sengenberger in for Deborah Flora. Here is some news coming out from OPEC, which pumps approximately 40% of the world's crude oil. and its policy decisions as a result can have a significant impact on oil prices and therefore prices at the gas pump. The world's top oil exporter, Saudi Arabia, announced further voluntary output cuts, which will be implemented from July. We're on the way towards cuts in output. The kingdom's output will decline to 9 million barrels per day from around 10 million barrels in May, Saudi's energy ministry said in a statement. Bottom line, what this means is you're going to see gas prices go up this summer. It's inevitable. It's almost inevitable at this point, especially once we get into or very close to July. And CNN made an interesting point this morning in regards
to this. That's what we're watching right now on the oil story. It has been a very good story for oil prices, and maybe you're going to see those declines slow down or even reverse a little bit.
We will be watching. Christine Romans, thank you.
It really brings into question, though, Biden's trip to Saudi Arabia.
Oh, well, that's
the goal of that, and look what has happened since with OPEC Plus.
Biden's trip to Saudi Arabia and the goal of that is brought into question, CNN said this morning. And they're absolutely right. Here's the thing about Saudi Arabia and Middle Eastern policy, which really implicates America's foreign policy writ large. We are not showing the kind of strength that earns the respect of countries' leaders in the region. Look at Donald Trump. Say what you will about his personality, about many aspects of his presidency, perhaps you're critical. Say what you will about his run for president this go around in 2024 in the Republican primary. The guy had a damn good foreign policy overall, particularly when it came to the Middle East. I've said it before for years, and I'll say it again. Donald Trump deserved the Nobel Peace Prize for orchestrating with his administration the historic Abraham Accords, for going into office and having a team that came in and said, we're going to totally flip our view and how we approach Middle Eastern policy on its head. They recognized changing dynamics vis-a-vis the Arab world relative to Iran and how the Arab world and Israel had been coming closer together. So why don't we push Iran away from the United States, which had been embraced more and more under Obama with the nuclear deal and so forth? And the Trump team says, OK, forget about Iran, in the sense that we don't want to be buddy buddy with Iran anymore. We are going to lean in on this developing relationship between, or at least thawing of tensions between Israel and the Arab countries. And then we will take actions to bring about peace, which a number of countries, including the United Arab Emirates and others, signed on to peace agreements with Israel. And the United States had a position of strength and goodwill and respect in the region. And then Biden became president. And Biden instantly showed his fecklessness and started becoming a hawk regarding Saudi Arabia. And look, Saudi Arabia is far from the ideal country. But I've learned this from former ambassador to Bahrain, Sam Zakim, dear friend of mine and someone who's mentored me on Middle Eastern foreign affairs issues. I've learned quite well that in the Middle East, with a couple of notable exceptions, you're basically going to have a dictatorship no matter what. And the question is, does that dictatorship tend, that authoritarian regime tend to advance American interests or work against American interests? And especially in recent years, Saudi Arabia largely advances American interests and Iran largely opposes American interests, not largely, almost exclusively opposes American interests and is the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the Middle East and wants to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Now, the Democrats were leaning in on policies of favoritism towards Iran, believing that appeasement was the right policy. Biden takes office and he throws out the Trump playbook while taking credit for a couple more peace agreements, I think, between Israel and a couple other Gulf states, and blasts Saudi Arabia and criticizes them to the point where he can't even get a phone call with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Several months back, it was last year, it was noted that Salman, MBS, was refusing to speak with Biden over the phone. That should not be the case for an American president. Biden goes and he meets in the Middle East and he doesn't even shake the hand of MBS because he can't or something. And it was just a sign of American weakness. Well, now Saudi Arabia isn't listening to the U.S., is taking its own actions and making its own decisions entirely regarding production cuts to raise prices, regardless of what Biden has tried to ask them for. And not only that, but as a result of this weak policy, we have seen a deal, economic deal, a number of months back reached by China, brokered by the Chinese Communist Party between the Saudi Arabians and the Iranians, which had for years distanced themselves very explicitly. And then Biden takes office, and some point into his tenure, China negotiates a deal that was economic and I think also allowing for the restoration of diplomatic relations, if I recall correctly, I'm not sure about that point, between Iran and the Saudis. No wonder we're in this position. And meanwhile, China keeps taking provocative military actions. Here's just a few before we run to a break. On May 26th, this is summarized in a Wall Street Journal editorial you should check out, China's military provocations. On May 26th, a Chinese fighter jet came within 400 yards of a U.S. reconnaissance plane flying in international airspace above the South China Sea. The unprofessional intercept forced the U.S. plane to fly through the jet's wake and was a clear attempt to intimidate. Number two, China's defense officials snubbed a request by the U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin for a bilateral meeting on the sidelines of the annual Singapore Security Conference this past weekend. Such meetings have become routine at the annual conference, and Mr. Austin criticized China's opposition to military communication that could reduce misunderstanding. And this is the most significant development, I would say, of the three. A Chinese naval ship this weekend came within 150 yards of a U.S. missile destroyer traversing the Taiwan Strait with a Canadian warship. The U.S. rightly views such patrols as essential to maintain the principle of freedom of navigation, but China claims the strait as its territorial waterway. So that puts Taiwan directly in the crosshairs. And of course, I visited Taiwan last October as part of an international press tour, and it was absolutely fascinating. I learned so much. But are we surprised? 303-696-1971. Are we surprised at China's military provocations of late? Are we surprised about what the Saudi Arabians are doing now with OPEC and production cuts? Is any of this surprising, given the dynamics of the weak policy, foreign policy, of the Biden administration? I'm certainly not. 303-696-1971, our telephone number. You can text into the show on the 710 KNUS app on your smartphone. Name in town, if you wish to text in, please. We're going to take a quick break. We'll pick up with more on the other side. Text if you want to call in, join in the conversation. We got one more segment up ahead. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Deborah Flora on News Talk 710 KNUS. Final segment, Jimmy Sangenberger in for Deborah Flora today. Little Allman Brothers rounding things out. Best band in human history, that's for sure. 303-696-1971, our telephone number. If you'd like to join in to the festivities, you can text into the show on the 710 KNUS app on your smartphone, name in town. If you wish to text in, please. Stephen Tubbs warming up in a bullpen. He'll be on from 4 until 7. Also coming up at 4 o'clock will be a press conference of the Resign DPS, Denver Public Schools group, Resign DPS, calling for all 7 board members in Denver School District to resign. And as I understand it, they will be, actually, let me not just go from what I understand. Let me see if I can pull up the email here that went out from the board regarding this press conference as a media advisory. It's been 75 days since 2 staff members at East High School were shot by a student who was at the school due to relaxed and ignored safety procedures. It's been 73 days since this group of angry and formidable parents launched a grassroots effort in the belief, as more information came out, that the entire DPS school board should resign. Nothing has changed in those 75 days except an increase in the superintendent's salary. So it'll be sort of a 75 days in review. Good for these parents for speaking up, making their voices heard about what's happening in Denver Public Schools with the dysfunctional school board that persists in being dysfunctional, as we documented quite readily and fully live on this program Thursday and Friday last week when I filled in for Deborah. Looking back at some of the topics that we covered and texts coming in and so forth, one listener texting in, yes, Trump definitely deserved the Nobel Peace Prize. However, that Nobel Peace Prize is a bit corrupt these days, so maybe the conservatives ought to start something new. Well, I mean, yeah, perhaps, but here's the thing. We don't want it to be political, so you can try and do that, but then it might be just the right's version of it, and then they supposedly have the left's version of it, and I don't think you're going to have the stature of the Nobel Prize, but that maybe is me getting a little semantical. I see your point, and I definitely think there's a lot of validity to it. I mean, again, make no mistake, what Trump did and his administration with the Abraham Accords was genuinely historic and unprecedented and Nobel Peace Prize worthy. But yes, he's not going to get one, even though he actually did something to justify it, because they are corrupt over there, versus Obama, who didn't even do anything. He just took office, right? When he got the Nobel Peace Prize, and he literally did nothing. Say it again. One word. Nothing. Gosh. Another listener text regarding China. The Chinese are also claiming Okinawa as well. It's a little more complicated how China looks at Okinawa and their public case. They really have no claim and nobody takes it seriously aside from China itself to the extent that they present a specific claim over Okinawa, but it's a little more complicated and nuanced than that. But you're right that Okinawa is a significant part of China's territorial ambitions. One difference, though, between Taiwan and Okinawa is I think the U.S. has some 25,000 servicemen and women stationed in Okinawa as opposed to Taiwan, where that is not the case and could not be the case. The Chinese would certainly view that as provocative and in a way that the U.S. government wouldn't head in that direction, at least anytime soon. Perhaps something would change, depending on what China decides to do as far as its actions. And by China, I do mean the Chinese Communist Party, to be very clear, the CCP. But when you look at China, when you look at Saudi Arabia, as I was talking about, when you look at all sorts of foreign policy faux pas and issues going on right now, you can trace it back. You can trace it back to the fecklessness, the weakness, the failure of Biden's foreign policy thus far. And I don't see it getting any better. It could even get worse. Rob sending in a kind message. Thank you for always being KNUS Johnny on the spot for the 710 regular show host. Thank you, Rob, in Jefferson County. I do appreciate it. Glad you're enjoying the programs. I've got one more day filling in for Deborah tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 4. I'm not sure what we will do with the show yet, but I'm sure it will be one to tune into and enjoy from 3 until 4 right here on News Talk 710 KNUS when yours truly, Jimmy Sangenberger, sits in for Deborah Flora once again. And, of course, the Jimmy Sangenberger Show is every Saturday morning from 6 until 9 here on 710 KNUS. One final thing here. If I have, let me see the time that I've got. I think we're just about done here. So we will call it a day, but tomorrow, please make sure that you not only tune in, but join the conversation. Of course, our telephone number, 303-696-1971. Stephen Tubbs warming up in a bullpen from 4 until 7. We will probably include among our show tomorrow some preliminary coverage of the election. It's tomorrow. The mayoral election and the other runoffs that are happening in Denver will be taking place tomorrow. We will give a bit of a preview. That's one thing I can say that we'll do. It will be interesting to see what happens in the race between Mike Johnston, former state senator, and Kelly Bruff, former CEO of the Denver Chamber of Commerce. That's it for me today. Stefan coming up. I'll be back tomorrow, 3 p.m. Tune in then. And until then, as I always say, may God bless America.
Never give up. Never surrender.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.